Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Tuesday, February 16th. We are 9 days away from the trade deadline, and nothing's heating up. That's all I got about the trade.
That we know of, right? That we know of.
Nothing is heating up, but we will have an exciting trade deadline episode, and it's because Alex will not be here. No, that's not why. Ouch. The Sneaker King returns in Alex's place next week for the trade deadline episode next Thursday. That'll be an exciting episode.
It's going to be a hoot.
It'll be good because if there are two teams who may, in fact, make some noise at the deadline, the Heat could very well be one. And we know I'm very much up on things going on with the Heat. And the Lakers could potentially go out and go get a piece. And we know that the Sneaker King, Ruben, is very much up on the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. More than anybody.
More than anybody I know. So 9 days. Will it be exciting? Will it be boring? We don't know. But it seems like it's probably going to be boring this year.
Wow, you just teased the whole great episode and then torpedoed it with that. But yeah,
I don't know. I think it doesn't matter if it – well, no. It's never boring. Like, people are always going to be into the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. It's just going to turn out to be boring.
It could be anticlimactic.
Yeah, that's what I mean, anticlimactic. Because nothing major is going to happen. But up until the deadline, you got to anticipate that something big could happen.
All right, how about this? Since one of my bold predictions is going horribly wrong, I'm going to sub in a new bold prediction that something huge, one huge move will be made that we're not anticipating whatsoever.
The only huge move, and I guess it would be considered huge because of how many players could potentially get moved, is the Houston fire sale.
Yeah, that could be pretty awesome.
Because I feel like you could potentially see Oladipo, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker all gone from that team, which would technically be pretty huge.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's the only thing realistically I could see happening. But hey, it's your bold prediction. Mm-hmm. Now, something huge happened in the NBA on Monday night. Huge. And it was Julius Randle going after Scott Foster, WWE style, wanted to go after him, maybe more UFC style. He looked like he wanted to beat up head official Scott Foster.
Mm-hmm. And Scott Foster wanted no piece of him.
Scott Foster doesn't want the smoke with Julius Randle.
Especially after he fucked up that multiple calls late in the fourth quarter.
Well, we will discuss that call, but it was a rough fourth quarter for the officials. Mm-hmm. It's been a rough year for the officials. And I guess it's always rough for the officials. Officials, it's the worst job. I mean, right. They get paid pretty well, I'm assuming. So it can't be the worst job. But in terms of you're never going to make everyone happy.
Right.
And for the most part, you're going to make most people pissed. But this year seems particularly bad for these guys.
They're just getting so goddamn good. The technology, you see everything in super slow motion from every conceivable angle. Like, these guys have no chance. Anything they mess up is going to be crystal clear, shown to millions of people. So it's tough, but I don't like refs, so screw them.
Do you ever watch the show Mayans?
No.
Premiere is coming out on Tuesday night at 10. Just,
did you see a commercial of that?
There's a commercial on this ESPN game. Okay. It's got me real jacked up. It's a good show.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
No. I know that's a good one.
You should probably start there and work your way into Mayans. It's like a spinoff.
Spinoff? Okay.
Anyways, so here's what happened. The Nets beat the Knicks 117-112. It looked like they pretty much handily had this game won for most, around the third quarter they were up. I want to say their largest lead was, they were up 18 at one point. Mm-hmm. But to the Knicks' credit, and we were texting a little bit about this game, and I was just saying, like, the Knicks play super hard. They play really tough defense. They just are not, like, their roster stinks. Other than, look, Julius Randle's having an incredible year. RJ Barrett's actually playing really good lately. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with Derrick Rose. I guess maybe he's hurt right now. Obi Toppin seems to have regressed to a negative rookie. Quickly is up and down, but other than like those five guys, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of these guys they're throwing out there, it's tough. So the fact that they held the Nets to 21 points in the fourth quarter, that even without, I mean, without KD, it doesn't, this team's, they've won now, I think 13 of the last 14 or something, like a big number. They're the hottest team in the NBA and they've been smoking teams. So this is as disappointed as Knicks fans would probably be for this game. You take away that they competed with the best team in the East, even without KD, they're playing the best out of anybody.
Yeah. And I know this is more about the Knicks playing really hard down the stretch, but I am getting a little bit nervous about the Nets in terms of toughness in the fourth quarter. Like,
I'm not,
and we know they don't have Durant. So that, but if there's any sort of flaw that you could put on this team, it's some concerning, really bad fourth quarter performances. They've had at least three that I can remember where it's like, what's going on here?
And they've won 13 of 14. So I'm not worried about them at all. Like you said, KD hasn't played in what, like 2 months now. By the way, Blake Griffin still has to get worked into this rotation, and who knows what they could end up with on the buyout market. Like, this team is so deep, so dangerous. Their fourth quarter toughness doesn't really. I mean, if you had to, I think that's like, if you had to nitpick something about this team to say, well, here's what's concerning, you could say that because nothing else, like literally nothing else.
I'm spinning it forward to presumably the Eastern Conference Finals, where you know they're going to be playing a good team, a good defensive team. And it's something I could see flaring up where it's like, when a good defensive team puts the clamps on, how do they respond? But maybe they respond with 140 points and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, respond with the second best player on the planet playing with a guy that everyone seemingly thinks is in the MVP race now and another guy who's having the best year of his career and Joe Harris and Bruce Brown and Blake Griffin and Landry Shamet.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know how talented they are.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's how they probably respond. But anyways, that's not the story of this game. The story of the game ends up being the Knicks are down three. At the end of the game, they call. So two plays happen. One, they inbound the ball to Joe Harris. The refs call a foul on RJ Barrett. The Knicks review it. It ends up being a jump ball. For some reason that I don't think was explained, the jump ball ended up being in the center instead of being near the basket that the Knicks were shooting on, that the Knicks should have been shooting on, which was a weird thing. The announcers didn't really know. Doesn't matter. Knicks win the jump ball. Julius Randle gets the possession, ends up with a Julius Randle three that as he's going up, Kyrie Irving touches, blocks, however, like deflect, whatever, however you want to call it. Kyrie Irving got a hand on it. comes down. Julius Randle lets go of the ball. They call traveling because he came down and let go of the ball and then grabbed the ball again. The announcers, obviously Julius Randle, the Knicks, everyone is furious that A, he blocked it. So he should be able, so it should be a loose ball because Kyrie got his hand on it. But B, because they called a travel, here's where they have a right to be furious. Why isn't that reviewed? If it was, you know, I don't know any, if the game didn't stop, then I get it. But they made a call. And in that situation, in a one possession game where the team that has a chance to tie it gets a turnover and everyone's losing their fucking shit, you kind of have to review that.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was talking about. I think, you know, last year in the playoffs, there has to be some sort of element of common sense. Like, how is that not reviewable? It's crazy to me. Like, if that play is not reviewable, then you might as well scrap this whole thing because you're not getting it right. You're not getting the most important moments right. And at full speed, it's a tough call. It really is. And it's a close play, but to not be able to review it, it's just a waste of this whole mechanism that they put in to get things right. It's just right. Dumb.
Now, Scott Foster was asked after the game, could you clarify the traveling call against Julius Randle with 3.2 seconds remaining? He said the defender was deemed to touch the ball, but not cause it to be dislodged or loose. Upon that, when the player alights, which is a word I don't know, but I believe it means goes up, but the word is spelled A-L-I-G-H-T-S, alights. Okay. I believe it means like when he goes up.
Yeah.
He cannot purposely drop the ball or dribble the ball or be first to touch after he dropped the ball. So I texted you, I said, it kind of looked like he maintained possession of the ball and then drops it. So the ref's excuse here is, and if you watch it, Kyrie touches it, but Julius Randle is still going up and he still does technically hold onto the ball. And then when he realizes he doesn't have a good shot, he just drops it.
Right.
So he's saying that's not allowed. So, yeah. Hey, and that's the great call. If he made that call in the moment and they're like, hey, we're not reviewing that. They should probably review it because of the time and score. But it makes sense to me. Having watched it makes sense to me.
I just thought it should have been a jump ball because, and I was reading the rules, there's a term continuous possession.
Okay.
And I thought Kyrie did enough to make it so that was not continuous possession. The ball moves and he's not fully in control of it on the way up. So I thought it was a jump ball.
Here's the follow-up. The question is, this, even though it's not really posed as a question, it says, the defender can touch the ball, but it can be ruled that he actually didn't knock the ball out of his hand. Question mark? That's correct, Foster's answer. That's correct. Basically, prior to Julius alighting, there's that word again, never heard before. The ball was touched. He alighted. And he can pass or shoot, but he cannot purposely drop the ball and be the first to touch, nor can he dribble.
So when would it have been a jump ball? What would have had to happen for that to be a jump ball? He'd have to just lose it completely. Like,
I've seen that. If they went up and came down together with the hand on the ball.
Okay. I see. Yeah, maybe if his hand stayed on the ball.
If his hand stayed on the ball as Julius Randle came down, it'd be a jump ball.
Okay.
But I think what he's saying, which makes sense to me as I was watching it, I know everyone's furious about it. He let go of the ball. He let go of the ball in order to cause a loose ball. He had control of the ball. He just didn't want to take a bad shot. It's the right move by him because ultimately he was either going to take a bad shot or get a turnover or potentially get a call from the refs in his favor. So it was the right move by Julius Randle. So he didn't have a shot. But it also, at the end of the day, it's probably the right call. Sucks, but it's probably the right call. I'm not trying to side with the refs here, but
now we still haven't gotten to the real best part of the story.
So yeah, so then after the game, Julius Randle, I mean he was he almost lost his shit and
very close.
The MVP of the season for the Knicks might be Obi Toppin.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got in there. So Julius, Jeff, did you notice Jeff Green?
Yeah, they looked like Jeff Green was going to like dap him up after the game.
And Julius Randle just walked through him and like shouldered him. And Jeff Green just was like, made this face like, what? And then Obi Toppin almost got like a double underhook UFC style on Julius Randle and was like holding him back. And Julius Randle was like aggressively pushing him off. And then there was that little assistant coach.
He got shoved.
Who looked like he was going to get stepped on. Mm-hmm. And you saw Scott Foster in the background kind of looking like, is he coming at me? is this happening right now?
It was a really funny. It was a very quick shot. You see Scott Foster is
now
not totally sure if he should take off or not.
Now, something that most people will not notice, that I don't know if you noticed, that there was a bald gentleman escorting him off the court at the end there.
I did not notice.
Into the tunnel.
I just saw him thrashing chairs and shit.
I'm going to double check the video because I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I believe that was World Wide West.
Ah.
Because I saw Leon Rose, who is their GM, standing in the tunnel waiting. And usually when one is around, the other is not far behind, especially when, because they basically run the organization together. So just thought that was an interesting tidbit.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you one thing Julius Randle is not going to do. He's not going to push Oral West out of the way. That's not happening. So just that was interesting. And it's in New York, so it makes sense that they're there. But yeah, that was fun. Julius Randle, it was fun. Yeah, that's Wes. I'm watching it again now. That was him. He just walked on the court and he's like, Julius probably realized who was grabbing him.
We're making the playoffs this year, so you're not going to beat the shit out of the ref right now.
Well, and it's just like, that's not a guy that, first of all, he runs the organization now, but even if he didn't run the organization, even if he had nothing to do with the organization, if he came out and grabbed you, any player, they'd be like, okay,
I'm just because of how powerful he is.
It's what he is. A lot of people mad about this, but I would contend that if I'm a Knicks fan, everything about the way this game ended is great. I know losing a game sucks, but at the end of the day, it's one regular season game that you're supposed to lose to the Nets anyways. And I think.
And you were getting crushed. They were getting crushed.
But also just like, it's national TV. You get a little sympathy from casual fans who generally hate the Knicks. You got this guy going nuts, fired up. People love Julius Randle now. Like, on some level, there's like this turn, right? Like, where it's like everyone always hates the Knicks, but now it's like everyone hates the Nets, and maybe the Knicks become a little bit likable. Plus, for the league, there's nothing better than a potential like actual crosstown rivalry. Mm-hmm. They play one more time in a couple weeks. That game is probably going to get flexed to national TV if it's not already on national TV. Like, in the end, it's one regular season game that if the Knicks would have won, everyone would forget about in a week anyways. Mm-hmm. Now no one's going to forget how this game ended. And maybe it sparks an actual rivalry between these two teams that are just like right across town from each other. So yeah. I think it worked out well for the league.
That would be awesome. Although if they play again and Durant's back, it might not be close. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
It's not close. Like the rivalry is not actually competitive right now.
Yeah.
But I think like there's some juice. There's some heat now because of
certainly some juice there. Yeah.
And I think that's where this ending sort of helps out, is that there's a little bit of heat now coming into the next game. Maybe there's some violence next time, you know?
Hopefully. It's always amazed me in my 28 years on this earth, the amount of sports I watch. In American sports, in my lifetime, no one has ever taken a swing at a ref. Took a swing at a ref?
I think it was a G League game.
I should say in the Big Four professional sports.
And I think this guy put a ref in the hospital.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think that was in Africa because I went on a whole YouTube thing. With it, maybe. But it's just always. And so tonight when I see Julius Randle headed that way, I was like, I'm finally going to see this. I'm finally going to see someone take a swing at a ref and become my all-time favorite player. And Obi Toppin stopped it.
Listen, Julius Randle, I'm not going to, you know, speculate whether he's tough or not in real life. He wasn't going to do shit to Scott Foster. He was going to get in his face. He was going to argue and bitch at him. He was not going to touch the ref. He wasn't going to do it. There's no way.
We'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know. So at least for you, you get to like imagine, and
I just can't believe it's never happened.
You get to like wonder what could have been. Mm-hmm. I bet you never thought in your life that you would see a mouth to mouth kiss on a referee before you saw a referee get punched. Barkley and what's his name?
I don't know if I was
Dick Pivetta. Dick Pivetta and Charles Barkley.
I've never seen that
when clip. They raced backwards. Remember when they raced? You were the one who fucking told me to put it on my Twitter picture, weren't you? Or maybe that was somebody else.
Nah, I don't think that was
me. You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't remember when Charles Barkley and Dick Pivetta? You remember Dick Pivetta, the old ass referee?
No. I don't remember him.
What are you? How are you hosting an NBA podcast? Dick Pivetta, you know this guy. Hold on.
Never seen that in my entire life.
They like they raced each other and one of them fell on their face and then they like kissed each other on the mouth afterward. Dick Pivetta
what year would that have been? I don't know.
I don't know. It was a while ago, but Dick Pivetta was like one of the main refs in the NBA for like 30 years.
Let me see when he retired. Is he related to Nick Pivetta?
I don't know who that is, but it's Pivetta with a B.
Oh, with okay. Let's see. Well, no, I don't know who this is, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm trying to figure out when he retired. Because in 2013, 2014. Yeah, so I should know who he is.
You very much should know who he is. Just the name you should know. Dick Pivetta. It's a real referee name.
It is real.
Charles Barkley also kissed each other on the mouth. So there's been that before there was a referee getting punched.
Yeah, I probably would have taken the other if I had to bet on it.
So I like the ending. I actually didn't mind the ending to this game.
It's exciting as hell, yeah.
Buried in the ending of this game is James Harden having a 15, 15, and 15 triple-double.
Yeah, really badass.
21 points, 15 rebounds, 15 assists.
Yeah.
And Kyrie just 34 on 13 of 18. It's pretty unbelievable, those two.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that anyone when this team got put together, if you would have been like, KD is going to be out for an extended period of time, you'd be like, oh, all right, this thing's going to fall apart quick.
Right.
They have meshed together about as seamlessly as they can.
Yeah.
Pretty good
for them, I guess.
Yep. All right. There was a few other games tonight. None of them quite as exciting or exciting at all for that matter, but we'll get to, Charlotte was pretty good. We'll talk about them. But Milwaukee beat the Wizards 133-122. And I got to say, for all of this talk that we've had all year that there's no way Giannis wins MVP this year, guy's got a shot.
Oh, no, you can't say that.
Third straight triple-double. 31, 15, and 10. He's one of two players in the NBA right now, averaging 29, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. Do you know who the other one is?
Jokic?
No. I did the wrong search on Basketball Reference. He may be the only one. Or it might be Jokic. Let's see. But I don't think Jokic is averaging 29.
No, he's not. Well, there's only other person.
Nope. Giannis is the only one.
Okay. I was going to say. I don't know.
I had it wrong. I typed in rebounds twice. So 29, 11, and 6. He's by himself right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's having statistically just as good, if not better, offensively year than he had last year. And if they can somehow come away with the top seed in the East again, which is not out of the realm of possibility, I don't see how he's not right firmly in the mix.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the mix. I think there's voter fatigue. I really do. They would have to 100% have to win the East. I don't think that's going to happen, first of all. And second, I'm sticking to our guns that he will not win three straight. No chance.
He's having such a good year.
Yeah, but we knew statistically his year was going to be absurd again. But
yeah, but we also thought that they might have a drop off, and they had a rough patch. But they really they're right in position to have the best record and to be in contention for the best record.
Yeah, they're there.
And you have to think that the law, as long as Embiid stays out, Philly's going to lose some games here.
Presumably, yes.
Now the Nets, who knows if they'll ever lose a game again, but you know, the way Giannis is playing and now Drew Holiday's healthy, the way the Bucks have been playing, they're not, I mean, since the break, these last couple games, they're not just like beating teams. They're beating the shit out of teams.
Yeah. But we know they can do that against bad teams. I guess it's going to come down to how he looks.
I don't know. The Knicks aren't a bad team. The Knicks almost just beat the Nets and they beat the Knicks 134-101.
Yeah. I mean, they beat the shit out of the Knicks, out of the Knicks, but they're too much. I mean, they beat the Wizards twice. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sticking to my guns. I don't think the voters will give it to him for a third year. I'm not even saying he doesn't deserve it or like be in the conversation, but
it's going to be such a weird year for the MVP because again, I think Embiid getting hurt is really going to stop him from getting it. Cause I don't think he's going to play a ton of games the second half, unless they go on like a, I mean, he's going to have to play some to get in shape for the playoffs, but I think he's going to miss a decent amount of time here. Cause they're so locked into the playoffs at this point. I think it's more important for him to be healthy.
Yeah. I just don't think, I mean, he is a very, like, I do think he wants MVP bad. So if he's healthy, I don't think they're going to be able to keep him from playing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we'll see if this thing lingers, then yeah, he's got no shot, but it's supposed to be 2 weeks.
No way. Reevaluated in 2 weeks, though.
Supposed to be, yeah.
Right, but that doesn't mean play. I mean, look what happened with KD and now Anthony Davis. Both of them had timelines where they were supposed to be reevaluated, and neither of them has played yet. So I just think teams, it's a shortened year, short offseason. I think they're going to be careful, especially with a guy like Embiid.
Yeah, they should be.
So let's say he misses an extended amount of time. Then there's LeBron. If they don't finish in the top two in the West, I don't think LeBron's going to get MVP.
Okay. I think they will. I mean, again, that depends on Anthony Davis, but I think they will be top two in the West.
But it's possible they're not. It's also possible the Bucks don't get the one seed. So
yeah, I mean, there's all kinds. Yeah.
That's why I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be one of the closest. I think it's going to end up being one of the closer MVP races we've ever seen.
It's trending that way for sure.
Because there's Jokic in there. I still think Dame could work his way into that mix because of the way he's playing. And I'll tell you who's another dark horse that people are starting to talk about. I mean, it might just be South Florida people, but Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that last night, and he's playing out of his mind. It's going to come down to record.
He's going to have to continue the way he's been playing for the rest of the second half to make up the ground.
Yeah.
But the way he's been playing since he came back, there's a lot of guys who could play. I think it's wide open in the second half.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Mm-hmm. Because with of injury,
after the Embiid injury, it became wide open,
and the Anthony Davis injury. Because I think it's weird that the Anthony Davis injury is going to impact LeBron, but if that team's not as good, then he probably won't get it.
Yeah,
so very interesting. But Giannis is, I think we've sort of maybe down because of how down we are on him potentially getting another MVP. We downplay a little bit how good he's been this year, and he is just as good. Right. Defensively, well, they're down a little bit, but offensively, like, his numbers are just crazy. Yeah,
statistically, there's absolutely, I mean, he's incredible, but the issue goes beyond that for me and you.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything, which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hornets end up beating the Kings tonight, 122-116. They were down, the Hornets. They were down 15 at one point in the third quarter. 15 at one point in the third quarter. They were down, I want to say 10 with like 4 minutes to go. And they went on a crazy run. And then I think we all know what happened. It was scary, Terry. I keep forgetting
it. Tory.
Scary territory. Yes. I keep forgetting what it is.
I didn't know if you were teeing me up for that or just forgetting what it was.
I keep forgetting. Because I don't know why. I keep almost saying scary Terry time, which is not as funny.
No.
Although it is a thing. It is sort of scary Terry time. But scary territory is
infinitely better in my
opinion. No, scary territory is great. I also tweeted out scary territory and got no reaction. No engagement. So I don't think people like it as much as us.
Good. I don't want Twitter to like my shit. So.
Okay. Really, really helpful for the podcast.
Yeah.
For Twitter to not like any of Alex's stuff. But once again, and they came back, tied it up. Gordon Hayward tied it up with an absurd fast break dunk. And then, took the lead, went up two. They tied it up. The Kings tied it up with about a minute left. And then Terry Rozier, with 54 seconds left, bang, three-pointer to take the lead. Never looked back. Then with 26 seconds left, bang, gets fouled and makes two free throws. Bang.
It's pretty solid Mike Breen there.
And they ended up winning by six. This guy is, I mean, he's no Dame. Because Dame, I looked it up. Dame has 7 shots this year in the last 2 minutes of games to take the lead for his team.
That's absolutely outrageous.
So he's no Dame, but outside of Dame, there's not a lot. And maybe Tatum is on that list too. There's not a ton of guys right now that are playing the way Terry Rozier is in clutch.
Terry Rozier, I mean, he's one guy. Maybe the number one guy in the league where I'm having a ton of trouble pegging how good he actually is. Like,
a ton of trouble pegging him.
Pegging how good he actually is what was said. Mm-hmm. Is he a top 25 player in the league right now? Like, it's
no.
He's playing out of his.
He's not the best player on his team. Is he a top 25 scorer? Potentially, yes. I mean, probably is. I don't know what he's averaging, but there's a lot of guys scoring a lot of points.
He's 36 in scoring, actually, but just seems like he can just like ability to take over games.
Is he top 25, top 10 in clutch? Like, would you want hit the ball in his hands at the end of a game? Yes.
Yeah.
Is he a top 25 player? I can't say that a team that's barely a playoff team in the East, their maybe third best player, is a top 25 player in the NBA.
How good is he? That's what I'm trying to get.
He's very, very good. Right now, he is a very good to great scorer on nights. But outside of that, he's not. He's not better than LaMelo. He's not better than Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. Okay, 25 is too high. But
yeah,
you know what I mean? In terms of like, I just don't know if what he's doing is like who he is, or he's just having an outstanding season.
He's developed into a really, really high level scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's, you know, he's only averaging 20 a game, but I mean, I feel like that team is also kind of like weirdly loaded. It is. Scorers, you know, there's a lot of guys like the guy that we thought was supposed to be the best player on their team doesn't even, he's not even on the radar right now. Devontae Graham, you know?
Right.
And Gordon Hayward's still having one of the best years of his career. LaMelo's playing great. Malik Monk is random. You know, so if they had less weapons, who knows? Rozier might be averaging 25 a game the way he's playing. So, but he's not the best player on that team. So I don't know if he's even a top 50 player in the NBA.
I think he's knocking on the door.
Scorer, mm-hmm. Yes. Player, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 25 was too high.
25 is really high. I think 25 is all NBA level.
No, top 15 is all NBA.
Right? Yeah, but 25, you're knocking on the door.
Okay, all right, yeah, and he's not there yet.
No, and almost certainly never will be.
Okay, I'm going to write that one down.
Go ahead. I will say, I could say, I would argue this. He has become, and we mentioned it last time we talked about them, or maybe the last time we talked about the Celtics, he's got to be becoming one of Danny Ainge's greatest regrets.
Mm-hmm. Should be.
So he's a top 25 regret by Danny Ainge.
Okay, there's that we're sure of.
I'll tell you what, he has a lot of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're interested in John Collins, so... You know. They're interested. I see reports about that team that they're interested in a new player every day.
Yeah, that I think lends itself more to Boston and a big market, and like people are, they'll click on anything.
Yeah, those were the only interesting games tonight. I got to be honest, every other game was an absolute beatdown. I mean, we could go through the scores, but there's not a ton.
Clippers Dallas was like, I guess
it was close until near the end. What's interesting about it is, Dallas only took 5 free throws in the game. That's the least wild. Any team has taken all year. It's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. I mean, that my God.
And the Clippers only took 11, 17 total. I got to think that's probably on the lower end in a long time for any game.
Yeah. That is strange, man.
It was a low scoring game too.
And Dallas is hell. I'm just continuing. My worries for Dallas are getting worse and worse. They're looking like just flat out not a playoff team to me right now. They're the 8 seed currently, but I easily think the Grizzlies could catch them or the Warriors could catch them. And it's just amazing. Like, I wonder how many guys have gone into the season absolute, like far and away front runner for MVP odds wise and then missed the playoffs. It's pretty remarkable to me.
Yeah, and it's weird. I got to probably dig in and watch a little more Mavs, like watch them more closely. Cause I sort of watch a quarter here. Like when I'm flipping around in this game, I didn't watch a ton cause there was other games I was watching, but it is remarkable to me. Like we talked about it the other day, right? Like when Luka was out, those guys, they had 3 guys go for 25. Guys seemed to fit a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, he hits 25.16 assists, but 9 of 23 from the field, 4 of 11. It's like when he's in there, he's carrying so much of the load for this team.
Mm-hmm. And then their other talented players can't really do what they do. I mean, I'm torn on Josh Richardson as well. He played horrible tonight, or just not aggressive at the least.
And then here we go with Porzingis, right? 9 for 14 from the field. Now, look, he went 3 for 7 from 3, which is good, but half his shots are threes.
Yeah.
Just they could easily not make the playoffs. But I do think they're going to play enough bad teams that their record will be okay. Or at least it'll be close. They'll be fighting because I think they're going to be fighting with the Warriors for that spot and the Grizzlies all year.
And then like the rest of the year. I keep forgetting about this play-in situation. So they'll be in that at the very least.
Which is actually, man, the West play-in is going to be electric.
That's going to be sick. Yeah.
Because it's going to be, it's probably as of right. I mean, if we're looking at it right now, as of today, the play-in for the West would be the Spurs, who are actually a pretty fun team, but Spurs, Mavericks, Warriors, Grizzlies. So in the play-in, you'd have Steph, Luka, and Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And then all those young guys from the Spurs.
It's going to be awesome.
In the East, you'd have the Knicks, the Hawks, the Bulls, and the Pacers. And that, I like the Bulls and the Pacers, but woof compared to the West.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough. Speaking of the Wizards, I mean the Wizards. Well, the Wizards did lose tonight, but the Warriors got ham-fisted.
That's not the correct usage.
pegged, so to speak, by the Lakers, 128-97.
This one got out of hand quickly in the second half. I guess more in the second quarter.
Well, they were only up by 9, I think, at half, the Lakers. But I did text you. I was like, yeah, maybe we can get started if this game ends up being a blowout.
And yeah, man, and the Lakers certainly did.
Yeah, and LeBron, I think, only played – well, he played 30 minutes. But triple-double, 22, 11, and 10. They should just give him the MVP. Just give it to him.
That's what I think is going to happen, man. I really do.
Just give it – they're just going to give it to him?
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe. I think Trez had like 19 in the first half in this game. This is one of the, like, I just don't think the Warriors are very good, but if the Lakers can get all around production like this.
To score 128 or to score like this without your, maybe the third best player in the entire NBA is crazy against a team that is going to be in the playoffs. Like, they just dismantled this team. But yeah. The Warriors have big problems. They just have huge problems with talent, I guess would be the word. Like,
yeah. And you know what they're, you know what else they're running into? Cause I'm seeing it on the, on, now obviously this is not a them, the organization, not necessarily, but the fan base. I'm seeing a lot of people in the fan base be like, Andrew Wiggins, not bad. That's what happens when you have a bad team.
Right.
Start to think that bad players are actually better than they are. Cause he's not a good player.
Right. I think,
but he looks decent because he's playing with Steph, and like, he looks better than he did in Minnesota, which how could he not, but he's not a good player. And if you start accepting the idea that Wiggins is like a core piece for you, you're not going to be good.
Right. And I think he actually has, I think he's just playing harder on defense, which might help, you know, get the fans behind him, but he's just squandering unbelievable. He just looks like a super athletic 3-and-D guy and not a good one. You know what I mean? Whereas coming into the league, it was like, this dude's going to be the best player on a good team for a long time.
I remember when he was like a sophomore in high school, people were like, LeBron?
Yeah. Yeah. Maple Jordan was the nickname, which is pretty sick, actually.
Ugh. Maple Jordan. Ugh. And then the other play-in team that we just talked about is Memphis, and they got dog-walked. Is that okay?
I thought you were going to go back to the well with ham-fisted there, but dog walk works.
Ham-fisted is like my favorite word. I love it. I love it. I mean, it's so versatile. Even though I'm using it wrong.
You're using it completely wrong, but it works the way you're, I get what you're talking about.
Clearly. Yeah, I might be using the traditional definition of ham-fisted. But also, if I say Memphis got ham-fisted by the Suns tonight. Yeah,
I see exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I'm talking about they lost 122-99.
And so they got a ham stuck in their keister. Is what,
yeah. Just straight up ham firsted. But Magic Johnson's favorite center keeps playing well. 24-17 for Jonas Valanciunas. That's about all they got today. Was 24-17 from Jonas, because they're really up and down since the All-Star break. They look good one night, they look bad one night, but I'm not surprised in this one because the Suns lost the other night to the Pacers, so I was anticipating a pretty big bounce back game from them in this one. And obviously they're just such a good team. Where are they at now? They're still two games back of the Jazz. It's just a matter of time though. Just a matter of time.
Yeah, and they're not even – I didn't realize Cameron Johnson has missed a bunch of games with COVID protocols. So, I mean, he's a solid piece for them. They're not even at full strength. So, team is really good.
Yeah, and, you know, that one executive said they're one legit big man away from competing. So, so we'll see what happens. Who else? Pacers lost the Nuggets. Spurs beat the Pistons.
Well, you're just breezing through this, right?
There's nothing to say. What do we care about the Spurs beating the Pistons? I mean,
no, I'm just looking at, I wanted to see what kind of game Caris LeVert has because I'm so fascinated by that story. But
yeah, he didn't really play well. He didn't play bad. He didn't play bad.
17. Jokic.
I was watching a little bit of that game. He just looked like he wasn't doing much, but I guess maybe he scored in the fourth or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Seemed like he wasn't doing much. But yeah.
Nuggets are hot. Nuggets are very hot. They've won, I think, 7 of 8. Five.
It looks like they won 7 of their last 10 for sure.
Yeah.
That's good. They were struggling.
Yeah.
The other day they were dogs the other day to a team that I was surprised. Like, why are they to Dallas?
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
And I was just like, why are they dogs? I guess they hadn't been playing great, but it looks like maybe they have been playing well.
Mm-hmm. And I could see them having like a huge second half, like a really solid second half. Cause I just think this team is so damn talented. And there's just no way they're missing Jeremy Grant as bad as it looked like they might have been. I think they're a lot better than what their first half record showed.
Well, don't you see that with like the top six teams in the West? Okay, wouldn't you like not be surprised to see any of those top six teams make like a crazy run in the second half?
I don't think Portland is good enough to, just because, I mean, you know how I feel about their bigs. So I think.
But they've been playing good, and they're not even healthy. Like CJ McCollum's supposed to be back next week.
I know. I don't buy Portland's record. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but they can't stop anybody. Like Cantor, like they, I don't know. I'll get Nurkic back, but he's not really a great defender. But yeah, the top five I could see them shuffling quite a bit because they're just so strong.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Miles Turner had 5 blocks in that game, and I was watching it. He's just like – he's on like a different level of like reading players when it comes to blocking shots right now. It's pretty crazy. Like Will Barton drove into the paint, and Miles Turner literally just – I mean, he legitimately just absolutely waited to the perfect timing, and Will Barton went up and – I mean, Turner could have swatted it into like the upper deck. It was such a clean block. It was pretty crazy. That team, God, that team should be good.
They should be. That's why, yeah, to see them get smoked tonight. But I guess they're still trying to figure stuff out. I mean, they've got a guy in LeVert. They have to work in getting a lot of shots. But
yep. I think that's it for tonight, man. I think that is it.
Yeah, looks like it.
No other rumors. Marvin Bagley fractured his hand. He's out.
Oh, really? He had a great, well, that's crazy. I didn't even realize that because he had a great first quarter.
Yeah. But other than that, I can't believe something's got to be going on in Sacramento that Luke Walton still has that job.
Yeah. I mean, they're giving up 120 points every night.
And they gave up a huge fourth quarter lead tonight. It wasn't like they should have won this game, and they completely blew it. It just, I just don't understand what could possibly be going on that guy still has a job out there.
Yeah. Does he have dirt on the whole organization or something?
That's what I'm saying. And I'm not, once again, not rooting for someone to get fired, but I just, you know, you look around and you see other guys getting fired who didn't seem to deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any coach in the NBA right now that deserves to be fired more than him.
Right.
They just get pounded out. They have the worst defense in NBA history.
Mm-hmm. And their talent, like the roster has talent on it. This isn't like this team should be far and away better than the Thunder, you know, like far and away. And they're not. Yeah. So
everyone should be.
Right. But they're not. And that points to coaching to me, clearly.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. But it's so weird. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. Maybe their ownership and their front office is like, keep them around so we can get the first pick and then fire them.
Maybe that would actually be that makes a lot of sense. Actually, it's a true tank in the sense that they know their coach is so dog shit. Yeah. They've got Alvin Gentry sitting right there, right? Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping Tuesday night Christian Wood would be back, but he's still doubtful. But I was reading, seeing this article. The only player on their entire roster that they consider untouchable is Christian Wood.
Sheesh. Have one guy on the whole roster. But that's probably the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
Except for the fact that you just traded a lot to get Oladipo, so that's weird. But
well, you get the picks.
Yeah.
You get the picks. All right. Well, less games. Was it 7 games Tuesday night? So we will be back tomorrow. See you later.